This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Trying to make it six straight against the Cleveland Browns. Big favorites in said game. Here to preview that, our colleague on 105.7 The Fan. Shaking It Up Sports. He's your friend and ours. He is Cordell Woodland. Cordell, good morning. What is happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All right, hey, what's up, man? We were just talking about the injury report of all the DNPs from yesterday. Ali, Flowers, Humphrey, Travis Jones, Tampa, and Wiggins. And get the stethoscope, Cordell. Which one is really a concern for possibly not playing this Sunday against Cleveland there?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a few of them that have the DNPs. I mean, Wiggins, you know, I remember him banging up that shoulder in the game and looked like he was able to kind of play through it. But you never really know with that. And Marlon, I mean, we know his injury history, and it seems like the lower body injuries, and this time it being the knee, you never really know with him. I think Marlon's had a really good year to this point, causing a lot of turnover. So if he's not out there, that's going to be a bit of an issue, I think, for that secondary that has had their struggles in general. And Zay's ankle is concerning to me a little bit. I mean, watching the game live, watching it happen, it didn't look good. And granted, he stayed out there, but he didn't make much of an impact really at all in the game on Monday night. But in general, after he kind of tweaked that ankle. So, and even Travis Jones, I mean, I'm worried about him. His snap count was down big time on Monday night. So, all those guys, I think, would be huge losses. But I think if Zay and Marlon aren't able to be out there specifically, that'll be a huge loss. And I'll even throw Jones in there, too.
Hey, Cordell, will you do me a favor tomorrow? This afternoon when you ask Zach Orr a question. Ask him Marcus Williams' responsibilities. I mean, is he supposed to be so deep all the time and not be involved in any plays?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he, you know, what he'll say, considering he is the safety, and yeah, he is lined up usually way back there. He's not as involved in a lot of these plays as nope. Other safeties, you know, usually are. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see if Zach Orr can kind of give anything about that. I believe he was asked about Marcus Williams last week, and he kind of felt like, you know, he's doing his responsibility. He's playing his role and acknowledge that he can be better just like everybody else can be on the team. But it's tough to know what exactly he's doing, I guess, unless Zach kind of pulled that cover back.
Yeah. And the other, you know, Bob and I were talking earlier, you know, Cordell, we were talking about, like, last year, the secondary. Yeah, I mean, the defense was number one in three different areas. And the corners right now, the corners are better. This year's corners are better than they were last year. The only thing we're not getting is the production of the safeties last year was much, much more. I mean, Geno Stone had seven interceptions, and he probably had a ton of tackles. You know, and I think Marcus Williams is averaging like two tackles a game maybe, and Kyle Hamilton hasn't been as impactful as he was last year at this time.
Yeah, I mean, it has been a drop-off in terms of the production of the secondary as a whole, and it's crazy because, I mean, yeah, they've guys like Geno Stone left, and I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on the other corner that ended up leaving.
Darby?
I believe he went to Ronald Darby ended up leaving. I mean, but they, you know, their core is still there, and then they added to the group drafting Nate Wiggins, so I mean, and you get Marlon, who's been healthy to this point, so it should be better. It should be better than what it's been, but it hasn't been. And I do think a part of it is you go into late in these games, second half, fourth quarter, and they have a lead to where teams are just throwing the ball all over the field, and the Ravens are just trying to, you know, keep everything in front of them at that point. But that doesn't excuse moments like the Bengals game where, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is taking a screen to the house. I mean, we're seeing at times teams be able to get what they want in the middle portions of the game. So I think they'll clean it up as the year goes on. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say that I think they'll eventually be a top five pass defense in the league, but I do think it'll start to balance out at some point to where the talent that they do have on the field will start to show up maybe on the stat sheet.
Yeah, I heard Harbs say that yesterday. But the thing that gets me, Cordell, is every week, the explosive plays. Last week, seven plays over 20 yards. You know, against the Raiders, it was five in the fourth quarter. So it's nice to say all those things, but teams catch up rather quickly. I mean, you're dropping you're playing softer, so the offense is eating some clock. I mean, they're scoring in three or four plays. So I mean that narrative doesn't really jive.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't discount that. I guess for me, I look at this. It's tough in the league to have it both ways. You know, it's tough to have it to where you've got arguably the best offense in the league and you have arguably the best defense in the league. Last year, they got pretty close. They got pretty close to that last year. But the offense wasn't as good as it is this year. And so I just think as the year goes on and if this offense is able to stay the way that they have been, and I think that they can, barring health, I just don't see many defenses that can stop this team right now. Even if they do it for a couple of drives, I just think that this offense can get hot and just out of nowhere put up 30 points. That in itself is going to help the defense. And what we have seen is this defense has been able to string together consecutive stops in the middle of the game to give the offense the opening to kind of separate themselves. We saw it Monday night. So, and we saw it against the Dallas, the Cowboys game as well. So I think we're seeing it in spurts. And then, yeah, on the back end of the game, it's not great to see them give up these explosive plays. I mean, that used to, when Mike McDonald was here, outside of that little blip at the start of his term as the defensive coordinator, they did not give up explosive plays. That was kind of the calling card of that team, was they weren't giving up big plays. That's a huge issue right now. But I guess what gives me confidence is the fact that their offense is so good that I think the defense just has to be good enough to give them that time period to get that separation, and they'll be fine.
All right, Cordell, let me ask you this. I asked Bob earlier, do you have any faith that if the offense struggles, that the defense can go win a game for them?
It would depend on who it is. You know, there are garbage offenses in the league, so sure, you know, it could happen. But I would say that I'm not going to sit here and say that I would trust the defense for four quarters to be the force of the game, to be the driving vehicle behind a win for four quarters. No, I don't trust them to do that. I don't think they have the consistent enough pass rush to, yep. If you're going to do that, you're going to be getting to the quarterback all game. They don't have that right now. You're going to be forcing turnovers throughout the game. Marlon's been kind of the guy leading that charge, and if he's not going to be out there, who else is doing it right now? I can't sit here and say that I trust the defense for four quarters to do that, but against, you know, a certain team, then yeah, I would give them somewhat of a shot.
Cordell Woodland, our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan, shaking it up sports weeknights here on 105.7. Real quick, Cordell, do you believe in the term trap game? Is Cleveland hosting Baltimore's 8.5-point dogs with a new quarterback? Could this fall into the trap game category, or do the Ravens go in there and impose their will as they normally do against them?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a trap game, and I also don't think that the Ravens may end up just blowing them out. I mean, it's a division game. I don't think you can look at division games as trap games necessarily, especially in the North, because everybody has they all have this one little thing in common to where they can all win ugly. You know, all of these teams can win ugly if they have to. So the Browns, the defense is still there. Myles Garrett obviously is a shell of himself right now. Jameis may be an upgrade at quarterback for all we know. Granted, they traded Amari Cooper, so their weapons are diminishing a little bit, even with getting Nick Chubb back. I think Cleveland will put up a fight, but I expect the Ravens to win. I just think when you have a rushing attack the way that the Ravens have, and you have Derrick Henry, it's tough. It's tough for people to stop these guys, and I think – the Ravens don't have to have their best day to win games. I think as long as that run game is there, they could beat any team in the league.
Cordell Woodland, Cordell, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy Owings Mills this afternoon. Ravens back at it, taking on Cleveland coming up Sunday. Cordell, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Cordell.
Okay.
There's Cordell. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whoop around coming up next. Tons going on in the world of sports on a Wednesday night. We'll talk NBA. Sean Devaney from Heavy.com. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. News from the desk coming up top of the hour. Raven spoke. You're going to listen. Coming up at 12.
Vinny and Haney's Whip. Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
Good evening, 105.7 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it for you. Get your request in for featured artist Friday. That hotline is live. Nolan McGraw is waiting at 410-583-1057. It's Plaza Ford line, by the way, for all the fun stuff there. World Series starts tomorrow night. Garrett Cole for the Yankees against the Dodgers and Jack Flaherty. First time since 1981, these two teams, historic teams, two franchises with the most World Series appearances going at it. I mean, I root against the Yankees no matter what. We'll do our official predictions tomorrow, but as we sit here at, 11:20 Thursday, kind of leaning towards New York. I think their starting pitching situation's a little bit more stable than LA's, where they're bullpenning, man. Yeah. Unless Flaherty wins game one, then, you know, things can change, of course.
I heard Tim Kurkjian say the X factor is the whole Dodgers starting pitching.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, they have, what, two of those.
Right.
And then they're bullpenning. The fascinating thing about this series, star power, five former MVPs in this series. Judge, Stanton, Otani, Betts, and Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman's banged up a little bit.
How many Hall of Famers, Bob? Both teams.
Stanton's hitting that 500 pole soon. Judge is well on his way. Guess Otani's got to be.
Yeah.
Betts. And Freddie Freeman, if Todd Helton's in, Freddie Freeman sure as hell.
Kershaw.
Yeah, but he's not playing.
But he's on the roster.
Yeah. We're talking about guys who are actually going to be participating in said World Series. Oh, Kershaw's a lock for the Hall of Fame. But it's a star power, no doubt about it. Two biggest media markets in the United States of America. And we'll talk more about it. And Nolan, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't we the home of the World Series here on 105?
Yes, we are. You can hear game one tomorrow night right here on The Fan.
Whoop, whoop. How about that? NHL last night. Capitals back home taking on the Flyers. And boy, them Washington Capitals, for being old and grizzled, where they're young and spry so far.
Carries in, curls, finds a little bit of room. Dubois to the back for Van Riemsdyk. Van Riemsdyk shot, tip, score! Connor McMichael again! He's got two!
TNT on the call, Vinny Serrano.
Yeah, the Caps, they started out well. I mean, they were up 4-0. And then they start to let Philly back in 4-1, 4-2, 4-3. Then it was a fight. And then the Caps got the empty netter, make it 5-3, and then they got another empty netter. Ovechkin got another empty netter to make it 6-3. But it was blowout early, good in the middle, where Philly was dominating. I mean, Philly all of a sudden, and they're out shooting the Caps, and the Caps can't get the puck out, and the Caps just kind of held on, and then they got the empty netter, or they got two empty netters to seal the deal. So, I mean, yeah, the Caps have won five in a row. They're sitting with 10 points. And they're, tied for second. And they're in, the Metro?
At Tampa on Saturday night are the Capitals. NBA last night, ton of games. Wizards tonight, by the way, start their season against the defending NBA champion Boston Celtics down in D.C. Of local interest, Orlando beat Miami 116-97. Paolo Banchero at 33-11-3. Heywood Highsmith, Curly, 9-5-2 there. Cleveland, 136-106 over Toronto. Donovan Mitchell at 21. Manuel Quickly at 13-2-4. Bruno Fernandi. former Terp, he had 6 and 7. That's points and rebounds. As Toronto starts with an L, Charlotte beats Houston 116-105. LaMelo Ball, how about this opener? 34 points, 8 boards, 11 assists. Let's see here. Cam Whitmore out of Spalding down there. Baltimore native, Villanova, at 4 points. For the Rockets, New Orleans, 123-111 over the Bulls. Brandon Ingram, big guy, a big night. For the Pelicans, 33 points, 7 boards, 2 assists. DeJounte Murray, who they just got, New Orleans from Atlanta, broke his hand last couple of minutes, which is bad because he was having a big game. So playing without Zion Williamson, New Orleans does get the win. Jalen Smith sticks. Baltimore, Maryland, Mount St. Joe, you get it, 15-5 for his new ball club. Memphis, 126-124 over Utah in an exciting game. Ja Morant's back. 22 points, 5 boards, 10 assists. Santi Aldama, how about the Loyola Greyhound? 27 points, 5 boards, 2 assists. It was Phoenix over the Clippers in overtime, 116-113. KD, Kevin Durant, he had 25-7. Damian Lee, Calvert Hall, did not play. Coach's decision. We said Celtics at the Wizards tonight, Spurs at the Mavs. Thunder, Aaron Wiggins at the Nuggets, and the T-Wolves are at the Kings. You got a little Alex Len. Yes, he's still in the league. And Kevin Herter coming back from shoulder surgery. We will talk more NBA in a matter of minutes with Sean Devaney, Heavy.com. This day in sports history, a couple of things for you. October 24th, how about 1976, Shea Stadium? Colts, that's right, the Baltimore Colts. Q, if you're listening, Burt Jones. 2 touchdown passes to Roger Carr, 1 of 41 yards, 1 of 79 yards, both laser beams. Tony Lynn hard kicked 2 field goals. Joe Namath threw 2 picks. After this game, Joe Namath said Burt Jones was the best quarterback in football. And Burt would go on to win the MVP that year. Injuries shortened, which was probably a Hall of Fame career. 2010, M&T Bank Stadium. Nolan, listen to this one. Ravens in overtime over the Bills, 37-34. Joe Flacco threw 3 touchdown passes, 2 to Todd Heap, 1 to Anquan Boldin. Willis McGahee rushed for a TD. Billy Cundiff kicked 3 field goals for the Ravens, including the game winner in overtime. And guess who scored 3 touchdowns for Buffalo that day?
Lee Evans.
Lee Evans there. Is correct.
Oh, man, wild guess.
And who would know that a little more than a year later, these two would be connected for life. In the annals of Ravens history, as Lee Evans had a touchdown pass knocked from his hands. More people say it was drop, pass defense. What do you think?
Oh, it's definitely a drop. There We've been go. Down this road.
Yeah, so Lee Evans dropped the winning touchdown pass, and then Billy Cundiff missed the game-tying field goal. So on this day, however, 14 years ago, they were both on point doing whatever it is they were supposed to do. We'll come back, talk about the start of the NBA season with Sean Devaney from Heavy.com. He covers it as well as anyone. And then a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. Hey, news from the Nest. You want to join us for that? You can at 410-583-1057.
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere else.
Hitty and Hitty, 105.7 The Fan, featured artist Friday. Get your votes in. We'll tally that up later on in the show. Total request Thursday, however, now, so pick a song, we'll play it. Send a request to Nolan McGraw. Is this Back in the New York Groove?
You got it by Kiss.
This is more of a guitar player. Ace Frehley, I believe, sings this one. So there you go. Good for that. We haven't heard Kiss in a while. A subliminal message to our listeners. But NBA started a couple nights ago. Slate tonight. Big slate last night. Here to talk about that and more from Heavy.com. Let's welcome back to the show for the first time in a couple of months, Sean Devaney. Sean, what is happening? Welcome back to the Fan here, Vinny and Annie.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Doing all right. Let's start with Boston. They destroy the Knicks the other night. They're down the road in D.C.'s big favorites against what's expected to be a pretty hapless Wizards ball club. But no zinger. But Jason Tatum, brilliant night against New York. New York, even though Boston's defending champ, they have more banners than anybody. Knicks still seem to get more media attention. We understand why. But Jason Tatum did a lot of pine riding in the Olympics. Is that going to be a motivational factor for him possibly chasing a most valuable player and repeat ring here in 2024-25?
Yeah, I think when you know, when you get a champion, you come out the following year, and it kind of takes a couple months to really get in the groove and get going, and you can kind of count on a little bit of a championship hangover. Not sure we're going to see that with the Celtics, though, because, like you say, I think Jason Tatum being benched for, I think it was 2 games, and not getting very many minutes at all during the Olympics, I think that that bothered him, and he's mentioned that it bothered him, but it's probably bothered him even more than what he's mentioned. And, of course, you know, Jaylen Brown, don't forget, didn't make the team at all. So, you know, you've got two guys, two superstars who are coming off a championship who both are feeling like they still have a little bit to prove. So, yeah, you know, if you're Joe Mazzulla, the coach, you've got to kind of love that you've got your two best players coming in with the chip on their shoulders, despite having just gotten championship rings.
Now, Philadelphia, you know, the Embiid, the story here where he said he's not going to do back-to-backs during the rest of his Philly career. He's going to miss the entire week. The investigation into that is what from the league? I know they want to maintain load management, but if the guy's hurt, and you can't really judge that too much, can you?
It's always a dodgy thing for the NBA to get too involved in, because you can't tell how hurt a guy is, and if you're going to investigate every time somebody sits out, then you know you're going to do a lot of investigating, and you're not really going to be able you know, my back hurts right now. Does that mean I can't write? Well, you know, I mean, I could say that, and then who's to say that I can't do my job because my back hurts too much? You know, it's such a subjective thing, so it's going to be tough for the NBA to get there. But I think the fact that they sort of announced in advance, or he sort of announced in advance, that he was going to miss games, I don't think the league likes that. They don't like the optics of that, and so that's why they have to call in the big investigation. But again, it's not like they can do it. There's not a whole lot they can do about it. You know, they're real, like maybe fine, you know, levy some fines here or there, but there's really not going to be much that the league is going to do here.
Sean, let's get to the Western Conference, if you don't mind. We were talking about during the whip around here on the show a couple minutes ago, Memphis beat Utah, entertaining game, high-scoring game. Utah not expected to probably challenge. Markkanen's a stud out there. But what about the return of Ja Morant? Remember, this was a team that won over 50 games a couple years ago. He had his off-the-court problems, then he got hurt. The return of Ja Morant means what for the balance of power, health permitting, in the Western Conference with Memphis here?
Yeah, you know, the Western Conference right now is really in a strange place, because you probably only have a couple of teams that really are going into this thing thinking we don't have a chance. You've got everybody else really in a situation where they're at the very least sure that they can make a run at the playoffs. You know, you've got Portland. And then other than Portland, not a whole lot of other teams that are going to sink. You mentioned Utah, but even, you know, they're going to be a feisty team. You know, they're not going to be an easy out for sure. So, you know, San Antonio has been a team that's rebuilding, but, you know, they go out and they get Chris Paul, and Wemby's going to take another step. So, you know, they're thinking that they could have a playoff run. You go right down the list, and every team in the West, 14 out of the 16 teams have a legitimate shot at the playoffs and think that they're going to be there. And you probably have 7 or 8 that think they actually have a chance at winning the West altogether. So it's a pretty unique circumstance. It's what Adam Silver and the NBA has wanted for a long time, to have as much parity as possible. You know, certainly you have to count the Grizzlies as one of those teams. They've got a lot of question marks. You know, Jaren Jackson Jr. is always going to be a question mark. Can he stay healthy? You know, they've got Zach Edey. They're going to try to rely on him, you know, maybe more than they should. They've got to keep Marcus Smart healthy. You know, they've got a lot of question marks. But when you start with Ja Morant, then in the Western Conference, you're going to have a chance. And like I say, there's going to be a whole long list of teams that that are like Memphis that think they've got a chance this year.
Sean Devaney, Heavy.com, talking NBA. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan on this Total Request Thursday. Defending Western Conference champs, Dallas. They go down to Boston quietly in the finals. They bring in Klay Thompson. What does Klay at this stage of his career add to that team?
Yeah, you know, and Klay made this point, and he's right. He made this point in the preseason is that, you know, people acted as though last year, you know, he couldn't lift up a ball. He was so old and out of shape and not himself. He wasn't bad last year. I mean, he shot well over the league average. In terms, I think he shot 38, 39%. He had some bad, bad stretches, no question. But he was, you know, certainly an above-average player, averaged 17 points a game. You know, he wasn't a bad player. And so to stick him on a Dallas team, you know, the thing is he wasn't Klay Thompson. He wasn't, you know, Klay Thompson who helped Steph Curry to all those championships. He was, you know, more of a number three, number four option. You put him on a Dallas team where he's going to be a number three, number four option, you know, he's probably in a much better position. I think it's probably best for both sides, both the Warriors and Klay Thompson, that he has moved on. But by no means was he, you know, washed. He wasn't a complete shell of himself. He just wasn't the guy that he was, you know, 7 or 8 years ago.
Hey, Sean, do you see any rookies playing, making a major impact this season?
Well, you know, I mentioned Edey. It's not a great rookie class. We'll see what Bronny James does. He can average, 4 or 5 minutes a game, maybe. Who knows? But it's not a great rookie class. I think Dalton Connect actually for the Lakers, he's probably going to have a chance to have an impact. They need shooting, and that's what he does. So he could have a shot. I think Reed Sheppard as well. You know, you got two guys who are coming in. When you get a bad draft class like this, I think the first thing you ask is, okay, who can shoot? Because they're the most likely guys to play. And so Dalton Connect on one hand and Reed Sheppard on the other. Those are probably the two guys who are most ready to come in and have an impact just because they can go out and they can shoot. And so they're going to have minutes, where you've got other guys who are going to, really have to learn the ropes before they can have an impact. I think those two guys can come in and play right away and play for teams that are expecting to go to the playoffs.
Sean Devaney, Heavy.com. Last thing for you. The MVP of the NBA this year will be who?
I'm going to go with Jason Tatum. I just think it's a good story. You know, if he can come off of everything that winning a championship and still getting the level of disrespect he got throughout last year, if he can come back and just have that really kind of a, I mean, it'll probably be Luka or somebody like that, but I'm going to go with Jason Tatum. I just think that would be the nifty story.
Sean, appreciate the time as always. Hoops is back. We can't wait to talk to you many thousands of times over the next, I don't know, the season lasts 5 years, it seems. Sean, appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There's Sean Devaney, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. News from the Nest. Top of the hour. Get back to the Ravens talk. If you're on the phone, if you want to join us then, you can. We're going to hear from John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, among others, talking about this matchup with the Cleveland Browns. Going to hear from the Browns themselves as they're 8.5-point home dogs. Buy or sell coming up at 12:15. Then Vinny's film breakdown of that Cleveland offense. All right. Defense capable. Acceptable. Offensively, however, yikes. Could be a get-right game for the Ravens D. Send that info to Nolan on the Plaza Ford text line there. It's Ford Tech 583-1057. News from the Nats coming up top of the hour. Get your phone calls. Get some sound coming your way. We'll count that late week money, hopefully, at 12:15. Talk about the Browns offense with Vinny. Film a study-wise. But Nolan, say hi to the people, please.
Well, you know, I've been doing a lot of thinking over here. It's been a big topic of the week, Derrick Henry and his pacing, his season stats, how he is on pace as of now to break the all-time single-season rushing record. Of course, Eric Dickerson holds that over 2,100 yards in 1984. Just the fact that someone's in line for that after 7 weeks, which I would think is enough of a sample size to have a serious conversation, that's impressive enough. But, I mean, how about just breaking Jamal Lewis's record? He sits third all time. Just surpassing 2,000 yards again, which Derrick Henry has already done in 2020, to become the first guy to do that twice, that would be Hall of Fame-worthy stuff. I just can't believe that this is in line or this is a possibility in the year of 2024 with all of this stuff we've been talking about with running backs in recent history. They've been devalued. They're not getting the same contracts. The wear and tear, their careers are shortened. And here you have a unicorn in Derrick Henry who could make NFL history.
Yeah, I think the thing is probably takes care of his body better than anybody, number one. And number two, you got to be in the right offense. You know, you got to have a team that's willing to give it to you. And then you got to have production. And I mean, if he gets, 120 yards, basically he's going to have 1,000 after 8 games, which I hope he rushes for a ton of yards. I hope he breaks the record. And I hope Lamar gets 1,000 yards rushing too and 4,000 passing.
Right. And you mentioned the early season production there, of course, what has him on pace to break the record in the first place. But historically in his career, Derrick Henry, every single month, if you look at the splits,
it gets better.
Those yards per carry increase steadily from the low fours up to over 5, pushing 6 when we're talking about January, although that's a much more limited sample there in the playoffs.
Well, you heard all the stuff that he does take care of his body, the hot tub, the cold tub, the
lugging around that dude's from State Farm's living room set.
Yeah. I mean, just the way that he takes care of his body is unbelievable. So, you know what'd be kind of interesting is when does he feel, normally? After a game on Sunday, your typical game, which, roughly it's been 15 to 20 carries, somewhere like that. When do you feel normal during the week?
Yeah, that'd be a good question for him. I don't think we've asked him that yet. But it would be,
I don't think anybody
interesting
has
to hear his perspective on that. Yeah. Like,
and as the season goes, kind of like you said, he gets better. And as the season goes, do you take, more rest days as the season goes? But as the season goes in NFL practices, there's no pads, there's no hitting, and there's a lot more walkthroughs.
Right. And I think even if someone tried to replicate or copy one for one his exact regimen, you're probably still not achieving what he's achieving. There is that kind of unique factor to him that obviously the work speaks for itself. That plays a part, the diet, everything. But I think even if you tried to copy that, you couldn't guarantee that you'd achieve what he's achieving.
Well, I think, in like, would he accomplish that in Dallas? No. I think Lamar helps a lot. Mm-hmm. The threat of Lamar running the football too, and the commitment to running the football, and the commitment to play 3 tight ends, and your offensive line getting better and being good run blockers. I mean, because some of those blocks that they, a lot of times, what is it? He's not even getting touched for almost like 4 yards on some of those plays.
Some of those pitch outs, yeah, he's already got a head full of steam.
Now, I don't think those are going to work. They're too fast, I think, Cleveland. I think Cleveland, you want to run right at them.
They only did a couple this past Sunday,
and they
from
didn't
what
work.
I remember.
The one didn't work to the left, But, yeah, I think it takes a defense that's got some big slobber knockers in there. And then with these little gnats, Cleveland's got little gnats out there, little mosquitoes that, you got to swat them away.
Yeah, but once he starts to bang on you a little bit, and we saw at the end of the Tampa game, when he ran in on the touchdown reception, I didn't see a lot of effort in trying to bring him down before he hit the goal line.
Nope.
Everybody made those as the new term. They made a business decision. Nolan, we have time for a fun house?
Yes, we do.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Fun House. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, real quick here. Steve in Pasadena is saying Carolyn's Western on Ritchie Highway. Is that what we were looking for there, Bob?
No. Highland Town.
All right.
Eastern Avenue.
Still searching. But thank you, Steve.
But I remember that play. They just tore that down not too long ago, right across from the Honeybee.
On the topic of Derrick Henry, this texter here says, how can we compare Derrick Henry trying to break the single-season rushing record when he gets an extra game to try to do so.
Well, I mean, everybody's going to evaluate. What if he does it after 16? I mean, then it's going to be.
Well,
everybody.
Dickerson broke OJ's after 15. OJ did 2003 in 14 games. Dickerson got to 07 in 15 and then tacked on through 16.
We need like a 200-yard game. We need one game to really get him way over the hump.
Again, you know, Henry did it in 2020. Still 16 games at that point, if I'm not mistaken. So he's already proven that he can
still
do 2,000.
You know what I mean?
It still counts, and I think it's still impressive given the state of the league. More texts here. Let's see. This one says, if Minshew is able to carve up the Ravens secondary, what makes you think another gunslinger, talking about Jameis here, I guess, won't be able to do the same thing? Chris chiming in says, be ready for another fourth quarter rally.
I mean, you're talking about the 32nd ranked pass defense in the league. And 32nd is last. It's the worst. The worst pass defense in the league. So, I mean, who hadn't carved him up, really? I mean, has anybody not carved him up?
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
He had one great throw. Yeah, he had one great throw. But.
Yeah.
More on the defense. This texter says, I'm still struggling to understand the defensive issues. These are the same players that were on the best defense in the league last year. It can't be simply the loss of Queen and Clowney. Or is the biggest difference, but what is he doing that's so hard for these players to grasp, considering he came from within the organization?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. You know, but I mean, we've never seen so many communication mistakes, you know, for seven games. There seemed like less last week. But prior to that, for six straight games, I mean, my God, it was communication problems, and with the same players. That's the problem.
All right, before we break, I got one more texter here. Says, Stables on Eastern, is that what we're looking for?
That was a country and western bar.
Oh,
this was I got thrown out of that place, but that's a story I'm not sharing on the air. Me and my buddy Vic, Rashawn, and Fish. Anyway, it was a store that was selling country apparel. It was not just, I think there was one in Golden Ring, one in East Point. They were all over. It was a big deal. They're way out of business now. But Wild Bill, I'm going to have to Googleize this during the break, but Wild Bill used to pimp it. It was a country store, late 70s, early 80s. It was a big deal, man. We'll try to figure it out. We'll come back. News from the Nest. If you're on the phones, we'll get you. We're going to hear from Harbs and Lamar, Derrick Henry, among others. Stay tuned for that. We'll count some dough, hopefully at 12:15. We'll buy ourselves.